They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We just celebrated Thanksgiving, and we are going to continue to actually look at and talk about thanking God and giving thanks unto Him because He is good, because He is worthy to be praised. We're going to actually look at some of the various passages of Scripture that talk about praising God, talk about worshiping Him, and the reasons that we should do this. And by the way, we're not just to do this one day a year. It's good to set aside a day to give thanks to God. That is something that we see in the Bible. It's something that obviously our country has a great history and heritage with. And, you know, together with friends and family and others, maybe even, you know, that first Thanksgiving, it was really the entire community and joining with another community, the Indians, to actually give thanks to God. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good to do that, but we should be thankful each and every day. The Bible tells us that even creation praises God. In Psalm 19, verse 1, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament shows His handiwork." So when you look up in the sky, when you see the sun, when you see the moon, when you see the stars, when you see the clouds, when you see the sunset, when you see the sun rise, that is creation declaring God's glory, the heavens declaring His glory, the firmament showing His handiwork. When you go and you look at flowers, you look at the mountains, you look at the terrain, this is creation showing forth the glory of the Lord. And we need to join with creation and praise God. In fact, the Bible even tells us that if we don't praise God, Jesus said that even the rocks would cry out, the stones would immediately cry out and praise to God if we don't cry out. And there's a song, "Ain't No Rock Gonna Have to Cry Out." For me, we need to stand up and we need to praise God. We need to let our voices be heard. And certainly, I still think that nature is going to cry out and praise God. But we need to be a part of that. Psalm 98 says this, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. The Lord has made known His salvation, His righteousness He has revealed in the sight of the nations." So we are to sing to God a new song. Why? Because He has done marvelous things. His right hand, that's a representation of His strength, His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. And the Lord has made known His salvation. Now, this is interesting. This is actually written before Jesus would come on this earth. But we know that the prophets and the law and the Psalms all preached the gospel. They foretold that there would be a Messiah that would come. They foretold this salvation. All of the sacrifices were types and shadows of what Jesus would do for us on the cross. And those people that believed in the past looked forward to the day when the Messiah would actually come. And they did, when the Bible actually says that Jesus went down into hell and he actually preached the gospel and he led a whole host of captive free. And certainly among those, you know, we see from the one parable that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus and how they died and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. There was like maybe an upper chamber of the lower place, the hell, where, you know, the people were not in torment, but they weren't in heaven yet because they hadn't accepted Jesus as their Savior. They needed to have Jesus preach the gospel to them and to believe on him who they had believed on for their entire life when they lived, or at least for a portion of their life when they were looking forward to the resurrection, to the death, burial, and resurrection. Although they didn't understand all of that, they still knew that he was going to come, that he was going to even die for us. It was even predicted by Isaiah that he would die on a cross. Hundreds of years before that type of death, before crucifixion was actually created. So when you see from the Old Testament talking about God's salvation, you're actually seeing a foreshadowing and a foretelling of what Jesus would do when he would come to this earth. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. So this is something that God has actually presented his righteousness and put this on display, not just for a few, but he actually has done this for the nations. And God is actually calling for the nations to humble themselves and to repent of their sins, to turn from their wicked ways, and to seek his face so that he can actually hear from heaven, heal their land, and forgive their sins. We see in verse 3, he has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So we see here the specific application of God's mercy upon his covenant people, Israel. But we also see the extension to all the nations of the earth, that all the nations of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And we know that in the Old Testament, there was a limited expression of God's grace and mercy to other nations other than Israel. But we know in the New Testament, there was a releasing, and the gospel was not just for the Jews, it was also for the Gentiles as well, for those who were non-Jewish. Sometimes the Bible talks about Jews and Greeks. Most of the people that weren't Jews at that time, they were of the Greek culture. Even though the Roman Empire was the dominant empire, they still spoke Greek because Greece had been the previous dominant empire prior to Rome. But you see, actually, in the New Testament, the fulfillment of this passage. And really, in the future, we're going to see, someone's going to see, whether we see it or someone else, another generation sees it, there's coming a time when the nations will actually worship God, when they will give thanks to him, when the coastlands will wait for his law, when the multitudes of the islands would lift up their voice and rejoice for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So here we see his salvation going out to the ends of the earth. In verse 4, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. So the command here is for the entire world to shout joyfully and worship God. And this is actually part of an unfulfilled prophecy. You know, a lot of times people think about end time prophecies and they're thinking about, really, some of them are thinking about doom and gloom and destruction. But really, there's a lot of prophecy about nations worshiping God, about nations being joyful and praise to God. And this is one of those passages here. And we see here that the nations shall shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. So the entire world is to shout joyfully unto God. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. You see, there's no coincidence that the devil uses music. Because the devil, Satan, the Bible tells us that actually before he fell from heaven, he actually was the worship leader in heaven. He even has instruments built into him. And whenever we actually, instead of worshiping God, we actually turn on the radio and listen to someone that's not a Christian, worshiping the flesh, worshiping drugs, worshiping alcohol, worshiping women, worshiping money, the other things that some of these songs are written about, we are actually substituting what God intended for us for what the devil is actually using to distract us from God's purpose. We are to actually break forth in singing and rejoicing and singing praises, not to man, not to a woman, not to fame, not to freedom. We are to sing and give praise to God, who is the giver of salvation. He's the giver of freedom. He's the one that actually created us and has placed us in this country for such a time as this. In verse 5, sing to the Lord with a harp. With the harp and the sound of a psalm. So a lot of times, you know, not many people play the harp today. You know, certainly some people do, and it's beautiful if you know how to play the harp. But there are a lot of people today that play the piano, that play the keyboard, that play the guitar, that play the bass, that play the drums. The Bible actually does talk about worshiping God with cymbals and clashing cymbals and stringed instruments. And we are to do this. We are to lift up our voices in praise to Him and even to worship Him with instruments as well. And to sing a psalms. The psalms actually were their songbook and their prayer book in the Old Testament. And many of our songs that we sing today actually come from the psalms. And there's one group, you can watch their videos on YouTube. They actually take the actual words of the psalms and they put them to music and they sing them. And of course, this is what many of these, whether it was David or some of the other authors that were authoring the Psalms, they were actually worshiping God with the Psalms. Verse 6, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. So here you see trumpets being used, the sound of a horn being used in worship to God. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. So we see this shouting joyfully, calling out to Him before God, our King, and praising the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is the majesty that we need to praise and worship. In verse 7, let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. So here we see the sea and the sound of those waves actually giving praise to God, and all the fullness of the sea giving praise to God. And we also see the world and those who dwell in it. So the entire earth, the creation, as well as the humans that God has placed on this earth, worshiping. The call is for all nations, all peoples, all tongues, all races, all creeds to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we are to shout joyfully before the Lord our King. And in verse 8, let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. So here we see the rivers actually clapping their hands. This is the sound that the rivers make, and certainly there are certain times where the river rises, and if the water's coming off of the mountains, certainly even people go and actually pay money to ride whitewater rafting. That's on rivers. And just imagine as the water is flowing, that's actually the river clapping and rejoicing before the Lord. And the hills are to be joyful together before the Lord. And in verse 9, for he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people with equity. So God is coming to judge the earth, and it is time for us to repent, to get right with God, to repent of our sins, to make sure that make our calling and election sure, to make sure that we are right with him and to worship before him. We are to give thanks to God for who he is and for what he has done. In Psalm 136, beginning in verse 1, we read, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So we are to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because of one of his attributes. Because he is good. And it goes on, for his mercy endures forever. So God is merciful, and his mercy has no end. It endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. So he is not just God. He is not just a God. Certainly there are many gods in the earth, and there are people that worship various gods. There are people that worship themselves even, and there are people that worship humanity. There are people that worship nature. But God is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. And the passage goes on, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. So this passage starts off giving praise to God for who he is, for that he is good. And it also goes on that he is the God of gods. He is the King of Kings. And then it goes on to give thanks to God for what he has done, for his great wonders. So we should always, when we come to God in prayer, and we really should be doing this on a daily basis, coming to God in prayer with thanksgiving, and our thanksgiving should be for God, for who he is. We need to be thanking him for his righteousness, for his holiness. And out of that righteousness and holiness also comes his hatred of sin and his wrath. That is an attribute of God that we need to thank God for. But we also thank God that God had mercy upon us, and that he sent his only son, Jesus. And why did he do that? Because of his grace and his love for us. So we're thanking him for his attributes. And of course, out of those attributes flow his actions as well. We thank God that he is omnipotent, that he is all powerful, that he is omniscient, all knowing, that there is nothing that he cannot do. We give thanks to him because he is the King of Kings, because he is the Lord of Lords, because he is the God of Gods. But we also give thanks to him for what he has done, that he sent his son to the earth to die on the cross for our sins. We need to thank God for all the things and all the blessings that you have. You know, sometimes you even may not have everything you need. In fact, sometimes you may be in periods of big need. And I know that there are people in this country today that are in big need. There are people, some people that don't know where their next meal is going to be come from, or where, how they're going to pay their mortgage, or how they're going to pay their rent. There are people that had their homes and businesses destroyed from the hurricanes that have hit. There are people right now that are suffering from drought. There are people that are having damage from fire. And all of this has happened, yet we need to still praise the Lord. As we talked about last week, we are called to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're to rejoice without ceasing, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, one of the things that I would think about sometimes when I, you know, I've been a missionary to the preborn, and as a missionary to the preborn, I was arrested about 50 times for peacefully protecting preborn children from abortion. I spent a total of about 3 years in jail, not at one time, the longest at one time. I was in jail for 2 weeks, out for 4 days, and in for the remainder of 16 months. I've spent, you know, as little as part of a day or just a few hours to 16 months. I've spent, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, 2 months, a few times. And, you know, some of the times, you know, you're in there and the conditions are not as good as you would like them to be. And certainly I remember going into the holding cells in Atlanta in February 14th, 1990, we actually went to an abortion mill to pray on the sidewalk. We were not blocking the doors of the abortion clinic. We were not on their property. We were simply praying on the sidewalk, and I was actually standing on the corner reading the Bible. Our church had recently read through the Bible out loud right at the end of the year, in the beginning of the year, going into the beginning of the year. That year, we had different people reading the Bible at different times of the day, 24 hours a day, until we got all the way through the Bible. We read the Bible. By the way, the Word of God doesn't go forth void. When God sends it forth, it comes forth with power. And there's power in proclaiming the Word of God and in reading the Word of God. And I was standing in front of that abortion mill reading the Word of God. But we didn't realize this, but they were actually about to start performing abortions, and they knew our reputation. They knew it was likely that we were going to block the doors of the abortion clinic. So preemptively, they actually arrested us. They had the police arrest us while we were on the sidewalk in prayer. You know, so we're actually going to jail, and we go walk into the pretrial detention center in Atlanta, and the floors in the cells, they put you in concrete cells with a concrete bench, a metal toilet. There's a little concrete wall separating the toilet. But when you go in there, there's very little privacy in there. You go in there to use the bathroom. I mean, we would like purposely fast ahead of time so we didn't have to use the bathroom a lot, because you didn't really want to use the bathroom there. In fact, the toilet might not even work. And if it didn't work and it was stopped up, the people really, this particular time, the toilet was stopped up and people were still flushing it. They didn't have the sense. Some of them are drunk. Some of them are on drugs. And you know, the toilets overflowing onto the floor and the water coming down. And you know, there was a guy, I remember a guy sitting there with his legs out And the water, I mean, it's water in feces and urine coming toward his legs. And, you know, I warned him, you might want to pick up your leg. He threatened to kick my kneecaps out. And, you know, this floor is black. I know it wasn't black because later on I worked there as an orderly one time when I was in jail, and I cleaned the floor and it was actually green, but it was black that day. And you're in that condition for 2 or 3 days, and you just feel like you want to scream. And rather than scream, I just took a deep breath and practiced what I had learned in church, and I worshiped God. I thanked Him. And sometimes you may not see, you may not receive, or you may not have everything that you want to have, but you can still thank God. There are still people in this world that even in that jail cell, we were being treated and we had more provision than some people in certain parts of the world. Certain people would gladly trade places to actually even go into jail because they would get food. They would be warm. They would be cared for. They would, at some point, they would get clothing. It's not very nice clothing. The food's not very, very, very nice food, but it's still provision. And so, you know, you just think that there are people, other people in the world that are still going through worse than you are going through. And I know there are other people that are extremely blessed in life, and you're going through a period where you're really blessed. But whatever state you're in, we know that God has done great things. He has done great things for you. He's done great things in the past. And even if you are going through a difficult time, God will, if you trust in Him, if you cry out to Him, if you commit your life to Him, if you repent of your sins, if you commit yourself to Him and you bring your prayers to God and you bring them with thanksgiving without worrying, God will see you through the problem that you are facing. And we should thank God at all times and praise Him at all times because He is good, because of who He is, and also because of what He has done for us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai.
verse is all for you. With singing, oh, sing, Zion, sing. Let the anthem of your heart be.